show is being sponsored by Once Upon a Time Travel Agency. Jim, Kim, and their staff are all Disney-trained travel agents who are able to make sure you get the best deals for whatever Disney destination you might have in mind. From Florida to California, France, Japan, or even a cruise, they will plan everything with you and then book it. And I save the best for last. The cost of the service is free, so stop by their page on Facebook or give them a call at 504-304-4904 and start planning your trip right now. If you mention that you heard them on our show, you will get a park touring guidebook of your choice when you book your trip. Once Upon a Time Travel, they make your Disney vacation magical.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
I'm gonna wreck it!
I can fix it!
Hello and welcome to show number 177 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. On this week's show, we're going to do a topic we like to call See It, Fix It. Something we see at the parks, maybe on our last trip, that we would kind of think to ourselves, boy, if I had a chance, I could really fix that. With me tonight, I have Lisa. Hey Lisa, how's it going?
Hey Ed, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. All the snow's melted by me. How about you?
I have no snow in my front or backyard, but at work I still have one big mound of snow left.
Right. And it's only been a week. It's pretty amazing, those March snowstorms, huh?
Yeah, we dodged a really big bullet up here on Sunday, and that was going to be the last big one, and that one went out to sea, so we got very lucky.
Good, good. Well, knock on wood. We might have a week or two left. It goes up to 70 this weekend, and it goes right back down in the 20s. So we'll see.
Oh, lucky you. We're going to hit 50.
Okay, well, before we get tonight's topic, I just want to let you guys know we have a contest we're going to be doing this week. So listen to after we're done, and I'll explain a little bit more about what the rules are and how we're going to do the contest. And so this week's topic, as I said earlier, is See It, Fix It. So now, as you walk through the parks at Walt Disney World, there's a lot of times you just walk around and you see something, and you're like, you know what, if I had a chance, I could really fix that, or I could make that work a little bit better, or I could maybe make it a little brighter, or maybe make it a little bit more customer-friendly. What do you think, Lisa? Do you go through those thinking processes?
Oh, absolutely. I think there are things that we bump into on a day-to-day basis that when we're down there in the parks that we think, you know what, I might be able to configure this a little bit better than Disney's figured it out. So there's certainly times where we think about things maybe a little bit differently.
Right. And I tell you what, at Disney parks, it's to me more of a game because there's not a lot of ways that you could plus a lot of things. When I walk around Six Flags, it's almost too easy. So I don't even try because it's just ridiculous. But, you know, at Disney park, they pretty much kind of think of everything. But once in a while, maybe something gets a little old. Or maybe they just, you know, swung and missed to begin with on a new attraction, perhaps, or something that they added to something. So we're going to go over a couple things tonight. And as always, I want you guys to put your thinking caps on, too, as we talk about it, because we're going to want to hear from you. And we'll tell you about that when we're done. So, Lisa, you want to start or should I go?
You know, I'll take the lead on this one. And I have two pretty strong ones tonight. And I guess I'll kind of start with the one that I think hits close to home for a lot of us Disney nerds and might upset a few of our Uber friends out there. But I really think that there needs to be resort-to-resort transportation. Now, right now, if you are staying at the Boardwalk Villas and you have a reservation at 7:30 in the morning for Ohana at the Polynesian, it could take you quite a bit of time if you're just using Disney transportation, or cost you a little bit of money to get from the boardwalk to the Polynesian. And is this something that you've experienced, Ed, when you're going from one resort to another?
Oh, well, sure. Yeah, whenever you make the early reservations, that's always a worry. You got to think about, are you going to take a cab or Uber, or hopefully the buses will be running and get you to somewhere close to maybe where you want to go. But you're right, the resorts are a little tougher to get to. During the day, I think the old rule of thumb was if you could make it to Disney Springs, you could take a bus from there to whatever resort you want to get to. Other than that, you're right. There is really no way to go resort to resort unless you do it on your own.
Right. So there's one of these things that I was sitting there, and we did this a lot in February, and we did it a lot in October of last year. And to be honest with you, we do it pretty frequently because there are other resorts that we like that are separate from where we're staying that we want to go experience. We'll go to Trader Sam's Grotto, and we find ourselves there until midnight. And all of a sudden, we turn around and go, okay, well, we've got to catch an Uber. Or you have that early reservation. And for somebody like me that, you know, come this November, when I'm going to make my reservations for early November, I'm going to be a little cautious about what time I make those reservations for, especially if I want to do an Ohana for breakfast, which my family really likes. Because if I'm staying at Caribbean Beach and I need to get to the Polynesian, there are six of us. And then that degree of difficulty becomes a little bit more significant.
Sure, you need that next level of Uber where they have, like, the van or something like that. Or the cab or whatever company, things like that. Yeah, no, it definitely becomes a little bit more difficult. And at that time in the morning, the buses aren't necessarily running everywhere as far as getting to a park where you can take a bus back to another resort. There's no guarantee you'll get to the Animal Kingdom or Magic Kingdom and there's a bus going back to the, you know, wherever the resort you need to get to. Yeah, no, that would be
right.
Great.
So in this particular case, I actually sat and I thought about it one day while I was sitting at the bus stops, and I thought, you know, much like you would go to your concierge desk and request the new VIP bus service, a new express bus service, there really should be a, hey, I have dining reservations, or I'm staying out late tomorrow night, or even you can walk up to a concierge service and say, you know, I'm staying at whatever resort, Port Orleans Riverside, and yes, hold on one second, let me check the bus schedule for you. All right, we'll have the bus is actually driving by here at such and such a time. If they've got a couple of buses doing a loop through these resorts, same loop, and they hit a button and say, yep, we've got a pickup at Polynesian, and they're dropping off over at Saratoga Springs. Think about what kind of a service that might provide to those people and the revenue it might bring in for those people that want to go check out, say, their gurgling suitcase over at Old
Key West. Sure. Well, let's start hopefully with a free service, and then we'll move on to paying for it. Now, what about using perhaps like a van that, or perhaps a fleet of vans as opposed to using buses to do this, where you request, maybe they have some type of, that you 4 hours ahead of time perhaps you request, that you're going to need a transportation to a certain resort, or even the night before. Say you have the 7 o'clock breakfast over at the Polynesian or whatever. The night before, you go to the concierge, you tell them, hey, I'm going to need that. Well, it's 6:30 the next morning. There'll be a van waiting for you at your resort. Tip the driver if you want, but I kind of think that should be part of the transportation. But either way, paying $10 for Disney transportation or $15 might be worth it.
Certainly, and they certainly have a fleet of vans for anybody who's ever gone and checked out the vacation club at Saratoga Springs. They've got a fleet of vans. If you walk up to that kiosk over next to Fairfax Fair in Hollywood Studios and you say, I'm really interested in what the DVCs have to offer, they pull out their little book and they say, somebody can pick you up in 15 minutes and take you right on over and give you a sales pitch, and you walk right out a back door and there's a van waiting for you right there. They have the materials. It's just whether or not they're willing to use them and pay the people.
Sure. And as soon as you brought the idea up, my first instinct was like, well, they have to have so many other buses and trained bus drivers, and they would have, but with the van situation, maybe that eases off a little bit of the requirements. makes it a little bit easier to hire the staff for that, perhaps. That's a great idea. I think we should push for that one.
Certainly. And that's something that I know people that travel to Walt Disney World, and they're at Magic Kingdom, and they might say, you know what, I want to go check out the Outer Rim, and they'll jump on the monorail. But they'll look at the time and go, okay, I know it's 9 o'clock at night, and if I jump on the monorail and I go over the Contemporary and, you know, get a drink at the Outer Rim or go downstairs to the Wave, to the bar there, I know I need to be back. I need to walk back to Magic Kingdom by such and such a time in order to catch my bus back. Or if I don't do that, I've got to jump on a bus at to Disney Springs. And Disney Springs used to be open until 2 a.m. But a lot of those places aren't open until 2 a.m. anymore. And from what I understand, the buses don't run that late anymore.
Right. Well, cutbacks.
It certainly. And Disney Springs is more of a family environment than it was when it was a...
Sure, because everything started at midnight when they had the New Year's celebration.
Correct. So now you're looking at a situation where some people may not want to chance it. Boy, I don't know how I'm going to get back, or I really don't want to pay the extra money to catch a cab. Or, you know, I really want to go hang out with my friends. I'm staying at All Star Sports. They're staying over at Coronado Springs, and I want to go to the Rick's Lounge and hang out with them. But it's going to be a pain in the butt getting back. Well, I guess I'll have to catch an Uber. That's gonna cost me some money. So like I said, I think this is something that our Disney nerds and our Disney family out there needs. But our Uber friends are, hey, hold on.
I was gonna say that's our solution up until they change it. That and planning. Basically, if you plan out where you're gonna be at the time you have that reservation, you have a better chance to get there easier. You know, what part of the Disney resort are you at when you have that reservation? Might make it easier. Like your Magic Kingdom, for a resort at any of the Magic Kingdom hotels, you can get there pretty easy. Same thing with the Epcot hotels. You run into trouble just kind of when you get into those off-property places or off-the-park
places.
Certainly. But great idea. Great one. Okay, so one of the See It, Fix It that I have, and again, it's going to be a little bit odder for me because I think I'm staying mainly with attractions, although we'll see as we go along. Well, anyway, the first one I have is the Lion King show. Now, Festival of the Lion King is great over the Animal Kingdom. I go as many times as I can. We love it, and it's an awesome show. One of the things we always say to each other as we walk into the theater, and we've never really figured out ahead of time, I guess we don't go often enough, is we never want to be in the giraffe section. That tends to be something that we're always telling each other, well, I hope we're not in a giraffe, we're always hoping not in a giraffe, because the giraffe has to come up with the sound of a giraffe as the show progresses. Now you have the lion, you have the warthog, and you have the elephant, which are really recognizable and easy animal noises to come up with. But the giraffe, they have us bleating or baaing like a lamb, like a sheep. So that's something I want to fix. I want to enjoy sitting in that section. I don't want to be embarrassed about trying to come up with a noise that nobody really heard. And we're kind of believing what it sounds like. So I want to change it. I don't want to have the giraffe in there. And actually Hope helped me out with this. My daughter, she just got back and we decided that we want to have Ed the hyena over there. We figure Ed is great because he's never evilly that malicious. He's an awesome comic relief character, and instead of coming up with an animal sound like a hyena makes, all you got to do is come up with your best maniacal laugh, and I think that would be phenomenal.
Oh, that would be great. You're sitting here talking about the Festival of the Lion King, and we just went in, oh my, we went in January for the first time. Oh no, we went in February for the first time. In a long time. I'm not certain I had been in 4 or 5 years. And you had me thinking, what section did I sit in? But I sat in the elephant section. And you're right, they do make the giraffes bah.
Yeah, I think the official term they use is the actress or whoever's doing that with you is they bleat. Bleat like a giraffe. Yeah, I don't think so.
Right.
I've seen them basically just lick and eat stuff. I don't think I've ever heard the noise. Not to say they're wrong. I don't know for sure. But let's give us something that maybe be a little bit more fun.
It almost makes you want to lean out of one of those safari trucks and scream and see if you can make a noise.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen. I hear the noise of the driver coming up that. But we'll
right.
see. Okay, well, anyway, let's go back to you.
So my next see a need, you know, fill a need, is more of a experience. So back in October, I got married, and we went on an 11-day honeymoon adventure at Disney World. We had quite a bit of fun, enjoyed ourselves, but every time we went on this one attraction, we were sitting in seats 3 and 4, and when we got off of Space Mountain, we found ourselves not in the same picture.
Really?
So, yeah, because what happens is when you go on Space Mountain, it's seats 1, 2, and 3
right,
in the first picture, and 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, you're
and
in front and behind each other.
You're in front and behind each other. And I'm not saying that everybody travels. Everybody has unique situations when they travel. But this didn't happen just once. It happened 3 times on this trip, to the point where when we went in January, we were coming up on the rows, and I turned and I looked at Angela and I said, I will not sit in 3 and 4 ever again. It left such a bad taste in my mouth, because really you're dealing with 3 seats here and 3 seats here. So if you've got a
party of four,
it's 3 and 1.
That's not how that breaks up. I have to look at those pictures.
Yeah. So when you look at them, and I know that Jimmy had posted pictures because there were 6 of us that went on Space Mountain when we were there in February with his family. There were 6 of us, 3 in the front, 3 in the back, and there were 2 separate pictures. So I propose a single rider line at Space Mountain. Now, I understand that the logistics of a single rider line at Space Mountain is nearly impossible, because as we sit here and speak, there are really only 2 entry points into Space Mountain.
I know how you do it. Hang on. Here's how you do it. The Fast Pass entrance to Space Mountain, you pull that out a little further, and you split that into 2 lines. The one line is a single rider. They'll just go through on the Fast Pass line till they get to the end, because there's always that cast member that either tells you to go left or go right. Well, that's when you'll have the single rider line up there. They'll do something funky that'll just get you to the front of the line. But definitely the cast members can do that. I think that could be doable.
Absolutely. So I actually thought of the same exact thing. So what you're looking at is when you approach that line, on the left-hand side is your standby line, and on the right-hand side is your fast pass line. So when you walk up to the fast pass line, are you, you fast pass, you tap your magic band. Single rider, okay, here's like a lanyard. So you take that lanyard with you. You walk up to the front. We get to the next fast pass checkpoint. Oh, you've got a fast pass. Tap your magic band. Flashes fast pass green for the person in front of you. Oh, you're here, single rider. Here is, let me take your lanyard, and you go this way. Now, this way, once you get inside, is once upon a time, and it is a big once upon a time, but once upon a time, when you walked in to Space Mountain, you could go either left or right. It didn't matter. And there was no walking behind that partition wall. That partition wall, you couldn't walk behind that wall. When you walked in, you walked right into the back and forth line queue.
You can still do that. They just send you behind the wall.
I think you can still do that and send your single riders down the back side of that wall.
Sure, because the back side of the wall brings them out almost to the, they could actually come out at the line entry to where they put them on the rockets.
That's
a perfect idea. So now you had a couple things going on here for see it, fix it. So we got a single rider line for Space Mountain.
Correct. And look, don't get me wrong, cast members are more than willing to accommodate whatever request you have. And I have since those moments that where we were separated and we're in two different pictures, I've absolutely said to a cast member who has assigned me in three and the person I'm with into four, now, you know, we'd either, we'd prefer one or two, or we prefer five or six. And they're willing to accommodate that. They're always, cast members are great
sure.
down there.
They are.
But here's how you eliminate that. It's much like what Test Track would be like. You go single rider for Test Track, you got a row of three, much like you do at Space Mountain.
Right.
And you get a party of two, okay. You know, you go into line one, oh, another party of two, you go into line two. So you just know that you're going to get separated from your party if you so choose to do that fast pass line. But I can't imagine how much quicker that process will go if they process a single rider line for that.
Yeah, but now with single rider, there's no guarantee you'll even be close to Angela when you get on the ride, though.
Absolutely, which is fine. That's.
So you're not worried about the picture for the single rider. So it kind of is a little bit separate?
Yes, absolutely.
Gotcha.
Totally separate.
Cool.
If you want that picture, you stand in standby. You want that picture, you get your fast pass. But if you want to enjoy the experience on the ride because it's, say, one of your favorite rides.
Right, no, that's a good point. That's a great point. Awesome. I like that one. Disney, listen. Okay, cool. Here's my next one. And this came about with discussion when you guys were all down in Disney World. I think Jimmy was talking about maybe doing the tour over at the Living with the Land through the whole area where they have all the plants and things like that and the fish and such. You can take the tour. I think it's $20 now per person.
Behind the Seeds.
That's the name of the tour itself. And it takes about an hour, I think it is, and you definitely see a lot of things, and you get pretty much a really awesome tour. So that is such a great thing. Why don't they do that more at Epcot? Not so much in Future World, say the World Showcase. I'd love an hour tour of Morocco with a cast member that could basically tell me the different sections of Morocco, what they mean, why they're there, and then I'll know. I mean, there's a lot of tour books and there's a lot of guidebooks that basically do that for you, but as a guest, I'd love to have somebody from that country telling me about the different houses in England. Why is that one a thatched roof and that one isn't? And why is it set up this way? And maybe in Canada, someone could tell me about the totem poles and what they mean. So an hour maybe tour of each country, make it about $20. I'd pay $20 to see that easy. For the full family, it gets to be a little bit expensive, but compared to a lot of other things at Disney World, when you do them together, that's nothing. So that's what I would like to fix. Let's put some more tours.
This is a deep dive into your nerddom.
Oh, no doubt. But there's so many people I think that would appreciate Epcot more if they have a goal once they get to World Showcase. You know what? I'm going to World Showcase tonight, and I'm going to learn a lot about China. I'm going to learn what that whole dome thing is about, and I'm going to learn about what some of these symbols might mean. Things like that. I think that would be so interesting, especially because the World Showcase lands are basically people working there are from those countries. I think Disney does a great job of going and recruiting people and having them come and stay at Florida for, I think, year contracts or such like that to work at those countries. It's so authentic, makes it so much better, and I think that would be cool.
So let me take that one step further then, Ed, because I love the idea, and I like the you know, cheap 1 hour, or inexpensive, not cheap, 1 hour tour with a cast member that has been trained and understands the little idiosyncrasies of each of the countries, so whatever country you want to do that tour in, that's great. But let me up the value of this, and let me make it an hour to 2 hour tour, but let me add
food.
This little piece. Forget food. Do it with an Imagineer.
Yeah, I'm hoping to get that much out of this cast member. But yeah, definitely an Imagineer is going to help it out. And you know what? Let's open the tours in Future World, and that Imagineer is going to be even more valuable over there.
Right? Yeah, with all the concept pieces that are going on, especially with, you know, all these rumors, and this is a story for another day, all these rumors about things that might be happening in Future World.
This just popped into my head with Pandora opening up. I'd love to take an hour tour of Pandora. It's like the first thing we did when we got on a cruise ship. is you do that hour tour through the ship. They show you where everything is, how you do this, how you do that. I'd love to take the tour of Pandora the first time I'm in it. Something like that. When Star Wars lands open up, you have an authentic Star Wars character taking you for an hour tour, explaining the different areas and the different restaurants and rides. This could be something really kind of cool to add on.
For certain. For certain. At some point down the road, Disney's listening, I promise. If they're going to make a buck off of it, they're absolutely listening to you, Ed. This is one of these things that adds value to vacation. And for people like me, I'm one of the few, and you're an educator. So as a parent, I pull my kids out of school. I don't wait until summer vacation. So I'll pull my kids out of school because sometimes I think they can get more from that trip if I challenge them to learn a couple of things here and there. And certainly World Showcase is one of those places where you learn so much that you didn't know. As an adult, I've learned so much in World Showcase. I can't imagine what my sponge-like child is going to learn.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Nice.
And then what they can bring back. So, yeah, absolutely. And that's something I'd be willing to take my kids on. Hey, let's learn a little bit something about England. My family is from Great Britain. My children are of Scottish heritage and have that background. Why don't we take a trip through the United Kingdom and let's ask questions and learn about your own personal heritage?
Oh, no doubt. I'm thinking of my scavenger hunt I did at World Showcase, and I'm basically the questions that I asked in that scavenger hunt was kind of a tool to teach some people about World Showcase. Once I found it out, I wanted to share some of that information. So to have somebody tell me what that big disc in Mexico is, that big calendar, and explain it to me, again, that would be so cool to have a tour of Mexico. And then you know what? With the country that has a ride in it, that could also be a little extra bonus on the tour you'll get on the ride.
Absolutely, right. And you'll be able to experience that through with a different set
right.
of eyes.
Right, and I was just thinking, well, except for Norway. I don't think they'll let that slide.
No, I don't think that flies.
Because that tour will be sold out.
All of a sudden, yeah, tours are sold out for the next 180 to 360 days, and they don't know why.
But okay, so we'll call this the Mini Tour Initiative, and we'll see how it goes, the MTI.
No, that's great. That's absolutely outstanding. Now, you said earlier you might have a half of a CNE felony. What was that half that you were referring to?
One of the things Hope also mentioned is when she was down there, she met Moana. And I thought that was pretty cool. And because we just saw, Leslie and I, my wife, just saw Moana just the other night. It took us a while to see it. And it was phenomenal. And before that, I'd seen a lot of the videos on YouTube, and I can't stop watching You're Welcome. I think it's crazy good. And Shiny now is my new favorite.
Whoever knew that The Rock could sing?
Oh, you know what? He can do anything. Dwayne Johnson, he can do anything. I really think he's one of those just talented guys that just keeps on going. If he's given the opportunity to try something next, he'll definitely accomplish it. I'm waiting to find out what instruments he plays because he can sing, he can act, he can beat the crap out of somebody, and he's definitely got a lot of confidence.
There is a lot more underneath his belt there. There's a lot more in his repertoire.
Oh, sure. Plus, it was perfect role for him. I mean, it's his heritage. And also, anyway, my idea came up about Hope talking about meeting Moana. And I'm like, well, you know, they ought to have a Maui. They ought to have a Maui, a guy you can meet. And I was like, well, how would that work? Would it be a face character or would it be a guy in a suit? And I'm like, well, here you go. You have to actually invent some technology for this. But you put Maui in a suit, and you have to have the guy looking a little islandish. Put him in the suit, but the suit's got those screens. It's got the surface of it is built to be muscular, but it's got the screens so it can reflect the tattoos that move. And as he's just moving around, those screens are just automatically changing and flexing as he moves around. The technology, I don't think, is that far away. So that was my half, because there's no tech for it.
No, we're not that far away from that, and I can't think kids will go crazy for that.
Well, just it'd be one of those, to me, that would be a Hollywood Studios type character where people watch the stormtroopers and they just watch him walk by. You would watch Maui walk into his location just because he'd be like shimmering as he went by because his art would be moving around. And again, that just sounds kind of like little far-fetched at this point, but it just would be really cool.
You talk about the stormtroopers. I sit and watch the March of the First Order, and I get chills. So I'm certain it would be something similar.
No doubt. Now, okay, let's fix this. I have just an instant see it, fix it. We don't have enough good guys at Hollywood Studios. That's been my complaint for the last couple of years, and I want to continue it on. Where, okay, we have the March of the Stormtroopers, and we have the show with a lot of the bad guys from the past, and then we have the droids, and we have Chewbacca show up. And that's it. So we need to get some more of the good guys in there, into these shows.
So who do you put there?
Well, we know we have a lot of characters because of the Star Wars weekends have the pseudo Luke Skywalker. You always have that blonde-haired guy running around in just the outfit, and the and Leia. Have some of the Rebel Alliance dressed people. They don't, like the Stormtroopers who are like a dime a dozen.
Right.
Rebel Alliance is pretty obvious what a pilot looks like, or a, you know, the guys that work in the bunkers in the areas. So, yeah, let's get a lot more good guys from Star Wars running around. And I'm sure with Star Wars Land we will. However, I knew we just got the introduction with Rogue One. We got a new Stormtrooper. We didn't get anybody really good running around too often for too long. Okay, I'm done. That was an instant one. I'm off my soapbox.
That's okay. It's a good soapbox to be on. I think we've got a lot coming down the road with Star Wars Land. So you'll see a lot more. I think you'll see a lot more of the good guys coming out of that whole process. And who knows what the next Star Wars movie is going to bring.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. I'm sure it's going to be something really cool. As soon as I start releasing some more of the information, which ought to happen soon, once we hit the summertime, since I believe it's next Christmas, right?
Yes, it is.
So once we hit summer, I think they'll start releasing some of the information. They did that with number 7, and you started seeing things in the park months before the movie, so we'll see. We'll see. Okay, guys, well, that's it for show number 177. Now we want you to help us out. We came up with a bunch of ideas of see-it, fix-its. We want to hear what you think. I want you to go to our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds podcast page, and if you haven't liked it, go ahead and like it for us. But more importantly, the pinned post at the top of the page is going to be the question, what do you see at Walt Disney World when you go down there that you think, well, if I had the power to, or if I had the time to, or if I could, I'd fix it, and this is how I'd fix it. Leave your comment in that post, and what we're going to do is we're going to go from Sunday to Sunday. And then at the next Sunday, we'll cut it off, and of all the people that posted their ideas, we'll pick a winner. We'll pick 3 winners to win a Disney Nerds t-shirt, and we'll probably have 2 decals for the runner-ups for that also. And then we'll announce your names on the show.
That sounds excellent, Ed.
Yeah, you can't enter, Lisa, I'm sorry to say. Yeah, I know. But it should be really fun. What's cool about this, too, is the t-shirt you win is going to be a Disney Nerds t-shirt, and you'll be able to pick the color. So you really get it nice and personalized for yourself. And which, that reminds me, with the trips coming up this summer, I actually have to order a couple of shirts for myself. And what's cool is that I'm leaning toward, blue and purple this time, as opposed to the normal red and green that I have. So we'll see.
No, that's great. I've got a trip coming up in October with the kids, and I keep on wanting to order those shirts for the kids, but unfortunately they grow like weeds, so I'll have to wait until the end of the summer, the beginning of the fall, in order to get those shirts for them.
Oh, I have an idea. Get a decal and just pin it to them.
That'd be great. They walk around with their Disney Nerds podcast pins and magnets, and one of my kids has one on her backpack, so...
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, usually when we go to the parks, the kids, they don't even mind it anymore. We'll put pins on our bag and our hats and stuff like that and just kind of hang out. The best time I ever have is when somebody asks me a question about it, and I get to kind of explain what we love to do. So if you do see us, please definitely stop and say hello.
We're always more than willing to talk to you. And for those of you out there that have won some shirts from us, Joe does a really good job with them, so they're great quality. They get them, he'll get them personalized for you. So it's a good quality piece of work that Joe puts together for us.
Now, a lot of the shirts I see in Walt Disney World, I really stay away from because they're really thin material. And even though they might be a cool decal on the front of it or it's a cool design, the shirts themselves I really don't like, so I stay away from them. But these shirts, they're awesome. They're really, really good. So anyway, check out our Facebook page, the Disney Nerds Podcast, and look for the pinned comment this week coming up. So this is the week of March 26th, and we'll go from that Sunday to the following Sunday. Okay, guys, well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
So long, everybody.
What do you think, Ed? Oh.
What, Ed? What is it?
Hey, did we order this? It's not funny, Ed. Hey, shut up!
Will you knock it off?
Well, he started it.
Look at you guys.
Hey, there he goes.
There he goes.
If you would like to join our jamboree, there's a simple rule that's compulsory. Mortals pay.